Alan, are you going to tee it up or
We're going to do it between us as well.
Yeah,
Do you want to?
this is our double act. So,
Okay,
so who's starting?
Well,
it's up to you.
So this is the normal paper that you get that goes briefly through the current agenda. So if I go through the current agenda and where we are, and then Alan can pick up the research agenda if that's okay. So insurance contracts we'll discuss later on today, but obviously we've sought advice at each of the ASAF meetings. So this is agenda paper 11, appendix A. Sorry. Then leases we discussed yesterday, and currently don't have a plan to bring that back. The conceptual framework, I think the next stage is, and we've noted this in the cover paper, that we'll be sending ASAF members, if you don't mind, a fatal flaw draft for you to consider. I think they are hoping to get a fatal flaw draft towards the end of December with a view. Yeah, sort of a Christmas present, but I think they might it might not get there.
Maybe a New Year's present?
Maybe a New Year's present, yeah. Sort of, you know, just what you want really for the New Year. Get your mind back into it. So those are the three big projects. And on the discussion papers, obviously, we discussed dynamic risk management yesterday, and I don't think we plan to bring that back until July. I think we need to do, the view is we're going to do some analysis of the comment letters and take your feedback from yesterday. So that'll be July before we come back. And rate regulated activities, similarly, the way the comment letter period ends, we think that'll be more likely July that we come back with that one as well. On the principles of disclosure project, do you want to go through this one?
Yeah, just a couple of things on there. There's been quite a bit of progress, so we're on page 5 here. Just going down, the amendments to IS1, presentation of financial statements, 18th of December is our target publication date, so that's 2 weeks yesterday, so 13 days from today. And the same day, we're also going to be putting out amendments to IS7 as a proposal, that's an ED. The statement of cash flows, and that's got two things there. It's a reconciliation of the financing activities or financing amounts. So it's not a net debt reconciliation, but it's qualitatively has some of those characteristics. Plus, there's an additional thing about disclosing information about restrictions on cash flows, and particularly in relation to taxation and things like that. So they'll come out together because we thought it was better to come out as a package. The reason for the IS7 is we're trying to re-emphasise that the disclosure initiative is not just about crossing out disclosures, it's about improving the quality, and sometimes adding a disclosure requirement by pulling things together actually enhances the quality of the information there. So we've got a bit of a, it becomes a mixture. Materiality was discussed last month at the board. We know it's a sensitive issue. That I think the FASB's just made a decision on 19th of November, I think it was, you discussed as well. We've looked at three things. At the moment, we asked the board whether we should change the definition of materiality. At the moment, our proposal is not within the conceptual framework ED. We're not going to change the definition. But in our principles for disclosure discussion paper, we are going to put up for people to see a different definition which addresses three things. One is the threshold, as Russ would know, with a FASB, and there's would versus could affect a decision. So we're going to see whether we should change from could affect decisions to some sort of probability, like, you know, likely to or something like that. The second one is to do with symmetry. At the moment it's, and I always forget which way it is, but it's about whether or not you should include or exclude. It should be neutral, and we think materiality should be whether you should include information or basically exclude it, in other words, so you don't overwhelm or obscure by overwhelming with too much information. So at the moment the materiality statement isn't quite neutral, it's a bit skewed one way. And the third is just focusing on the users and tying it in more with our conceptual framework, we say, to so the users of the financial statements, for example. So there are some little drafting things we're going to have a potential look at, and then ask whether or not that would have, we should go make any changes. because we're a bit worried. We think that materiality is generally well understood. We're worried that by changing anything, we cause more damage or more harm than good. So that's why it will be in the discussion paper. The board also agreed that we should develop a practice statement, and what we're going to do is put together some material on how to apply materiality to financial statements and the notes. Not prescriptive, but we will be picking up from a wide range of sources, including some of the ECC guidance, so we've got consistently globally, we hope, some practical ways and things that people should think about. And they're very simple things like, when you talk about materiality, and it's not just a quantitative threshold, but you should think about how some numbers, for example, might affect trends, whether or not you're close to reporting a loss versus a profit and things like that, and also the nature of the type of thing you're looking at. So that we're hoping to put a practice statement draft together in the second quarter of next year. So that would go out for comment around about the same time as the discussion paper. And that discussion paper is the middle of next year, roughly.
The metrics of the research.
Or research, yeah. Well, I'm not going to go through all the research projects, but I think now, over the last 6 months or so, we've had most of them have made their way to this table. So you've got it starting to get a bit of a sense for these. The whole program is broad-based, so there are 14 and 15 projects on here. Quite different levels. Some of them, as you've seen with the foreign currency, we considered a whole lot of research that came to us, and we think that it's probably a longer-term thing, or potentially not do much work on that. Others we think might move to standards relatively quickly. For example, business combinations under common control, we're putting the plans together for a discussion paper, and slightly the staff recommendation would be to try and move relatively quickly to address that. Because we understand the problem, and it's a matter of actually, do you use fresh start acquisition or carryover, and if you use carryover, how do you do it? So most of the problems are well known and well understood. With some of our commission trading schemes, as we discussed yesterday, understanding the schemes, pulling out the economic substance of those things and creating accounting for it, those are harder issues. So they're the slower process where you actually build up and understand the problem better. So we have, as you see, quite a wide range of that, of different projects. We've just given you a brief summary of that. What I did want to do, while we're here, and in relation particularly to the Korean work, is just give you a bit of a sense of how we have been working with some of the other standard setters as well, and to try and encourage you to do more work like the work the Koreans have done. And there are three levels where I think we want to acknowledge as well. One is we have targeted project-specific research. Now, the work that Andrew presented yesterday on cash flows is because the UK FRC has agreed to help provide resources to us, and Andrew's doing the work. That will feed into our disclosure initiative and our POD, or Principles of Disclosure discussion paper. At the same time, we've got the Italian standard setters doing some work on accounting policy, changes in policies and estimates, and looking at the differences and how we should perhaps disclose changes in policy. And the New Zealand standard setter is doing some work for us on the way we draft our disclosure requirements, and in particular is having a look at two standards for us. A simple one, IAS 16, Property, Plant and Equipment, because it's quite a simple standard. It's got a reconciliation, and it's also got, I always forget what the term is, non-recommended disclosures. Not mandatory.
Encouraged.
Thank you, Russ. Encouraged disclosures, and how you would, if you were to sit there and redraft that, how you'd actually draft that with a clear objective, for example. You're also looking at IFRS 3 because we've got a lot of feedback from the post-implementation review about, and that's an example where we think we've got some boilerplate disclosures and some lack of information about some particular areas. So they're looking at those for us. And so under those will feed through into us. Each one of those has a project manager here who obtains a liaison with them. Very clear objectives, because we want to avoid a few cases in the past where people have done a lot of work for us and it's not gone anywhere. And this is a matter of managing these. So I've talked to a couple of other people here about potential issues to help us. But across the whole range of the research projects, we're looking for people who are interested in putting some resource into it. We also have staff coming in who help us. We've got three, two in the conceptual framework, So the FASB's helped us with Ron Locht and Noble from the ASBJ, and also in Disclosure Initiative, the German standard set has allowed us to have Holger Obst on there. They're all based in their hometowns, but they contribute to our projects and become part of the team as well. And the third one is the work that the KASB, for example, has done, and that's trying to encourage research that you've initiated, for example. And you won't have seen it in the background because this all happens, you know, behind the scenes, but we looked at earlier drafts of the KASB paper. We had teleconference, you'll see from the video when they left, it's a pretty big team over there. And we had teleconference call with them to go through drafts and so on to help them as well. And we're particularly keen to encourage that type of work. So if you do have proactive type of work, contact us and we'll see what we can do it's helpful to know that's going on because it actually does feed in. And you'll see that, you know, some of this is quite productive because that will feed into equity method. The work that was done by the Malaysian standard setter on bearer assets ended up being a change in the standard and so on. So there are quite a few of those projects going on. We do liaise as much as we can, but contact us if you want to talk about any types of issues, and also see if other standard setters are doing work as well. We can make sure there's no duplication.
So obviously I've listed out after the research project that Alan's just gone through, I've listed out the implementation projects, but we don't plan to seek input on those projects here. So that really provides you an update. I don't know if anyone has any comments.
Ross?
So I have a question on what you said about materiality and excluding information. So you're thinking you would potentially write a definition that would require a company to assess if they have too much information, and is it only disclosure or does it also include recognition?
Well, in the amendments to IS1 that we're issuing in 2 weeks, we actually have it's part of materiality, but it's we have statements in there saying that you need to make decisions about how to aggregate information, and that essentially if you over aggregate, you hide, because you've got different bits of information that get aggregated together. We also mentioned, though, that if you you can actually obscure information by disclosing so much information, so much data, but essentially that the important piece of information become obscured. So we do have that. We try to get some symmetry in there.
So if you had a requirement that said thou shalt do the following 8 things, and if a company did that, the auditor could come in and say you've done too much and you have an error?
No. Well, so we haven't gone as far as to say you cannot disclose immaterial information. We think that's unauditable and unenforceable.
Okay.
But and so it is difficult because actually in the US Supreme Court's mentioned stuff about that's why they said could is too low because
right.
You get so much information that hides the important stuff. So there's the bit of a concept there, but it's a lot more difficult to enforce or think about than this piece of information is helpful, as opposed to at what point does so much information overwhelm everything else. But we also have, as part of the IS1 amendments, we say that when you go down your list of disclosures, we just say two things. One is that even though it says it has a list, you can still decide that that's actually not relevant or material to my organisation.
Right.
But you also, even gone through the list, you have to then consider whether that's enough to meet the objective. So we do ask that you consider whether something additional needs to be disclosed. And that's a point that I think was discussed earlier this week, wasn't it, by your board?
Right. We had a disclosure form. A couple things. First is we amended the conceptual in the process of amending our conceptual definition of materiality to replace could to would, because that is what is the legal definition of materiality in the U.S. It's based on wood, and it's gone up through the highest courts in the land. But in the disclosure form we had, it was quite clear the investors did not want a constraint in information. They said that they can, at least investors around the room, said that they can process all of the information, but the preparer, the supply side, does have a timing constraint, and the more information that's required, the harder it is for them to get the information, to get it reviewed through internal controls and governance and audited. So there is a balance between that. But investors didn't seem concerned about having too much information.
Yukio. Okay. With regard to conceptual framework, we should continue discussions. Even when the exposure draft is being out for public consultation, we still think that we should give further consideration to some areas, and we'd like to make a positive contribution to the discussion by submitting a paper on a relevant issue.
Thank you, Yukio. Clemens?
Yeah, I'd like to make some comment on the LISIS project. I think on reflection on the discussion yesterday, I just like to put on record that as far as the AOSSG is concerned, I think at various previous meeting, we had discussion about, you know, the importance of convergence. We realized that the convergence issue is very important, but however, on the balance, I think the conceptual merits on different sort of issues and projects is even more important. So, you know, we just like to put that on record. Thank you.
Yes, I wanted to eventually to react to two points that have been presented in terms of agenda. The first one is insurance, and decide, well, we have now consulted ASAF with on every issue, and we don't intend to bring that back. The work on the model for contracts with participating features still requires a kind of a lot of work. And we know at this stage that the alternative proposal has attracted a lot of interest and a lot of support. We also know that there are a certain number of issues that still need to be investigated with real proposals made. And I think it would be useful that ASAF contributes to that, instead of, you know, getting into eventually these different stages, see what are the questions that need to be investigated, what is supported, what is not, that we already know, but what are the questions and what could be acceptable solutions to that. So I would see room for having a useful contribution from ASAF into that project going forward, and not consider that you have heard everything we had potentially to say or contribute on it. The other point I wanted to make is about these small, narrow scope amendments that in nature we would not see necessary coming to the ASAF table. However, we've seen and we continue to see that these narrow scope amendments can be extremely controversial. And I think it would be a good practice going forward when the consultation period reveals that there are significant concerns, that there is a lot of controversy out there, even if the thing is minor. I think it would be good practice to have, you know, the consultation period is ended, that controversy is identified. Let's have a discussion at ASAF to understand together why that controversy has arisen and see how critical that may be, because it would be a pity if narrow scope amendments would create endorsement issues. I mean, endorsement issues should not happen, but on narrow scope amendment, they
both seem reasonable points. You know, we're going to discuss insurance after this, so we'll keep it on the agenda as long as it's a moving target. Any other comments? No? Liesl?
I see the agenda consultation in the July draft, fine. I do not see anywhere the ASAF review. It's just that I note that probably we will not come past the ASAF review again. Is that a misunderstanding? Or
sorry, I didn't understand your question, Liesl.
No, so it's a fair point. I think when I did it, I went through the projects and my brain didn't extend to other things that were going on that might need to come back. So I think that's a fair point.
Agenda consultation, the ASAP review, and probably at some stage the constitutional review are not technical agenda, absolutely granted.
Yeah,
agenda consultation we have later on today and we'll come back.
Yeah.
Constitutional review is probably totally outside.
Yeah.
However, on the ASAP review, I guess it's sort of vested interest
in
the
current members.
No,
so whatever you foresee, at least a sort of report where we are or whatever, but not totally out of our remit.
No, no, that is an oversight by
Okay.